garbage.
What?
What is this?
Push it to the limit.
This isn't push it to the limit.
From Scarface.
Instrumental.
This is push it to the limit.
Oh, yeah, they were running that dope.
Oh, there it is. Gina, she was liking that money. Started hanging around Manolo.
Gina messed up everything.
Gina was just being a young kid.
But Gina just...
Manolo's got to know that's his friend's sister.
Oh, Manolo messed up, but Gina, man, she run around with a little white sheer on. Put on a sweatsuit. You know what I'm saying? Who saw a woman in the hoodie and said, oh, she's bad? Oh, that little sheer.
She was trying to work an angle.
That's a problem. Gina messed up everything.
Temple Football has tweeted out, join us in welcoming our new head coach, Coach Manny Diaz. So it is official. I believe there's a 3:30 press conference. 3 or 3:30? I don't know.
I thought it was something. 3.
It was 3, and then I saw it was going to be 3:30, so I don't know. But
I'll get to the bottom of it.
He might be getting cold feet.
It is official. You know, it was like 2 o'clock now, whatever. But Temple Football, when did they tweet this? 1:17. So less than an hour ago, join us in welcoming our new head coach, Manny Diaz.
And Mark Richt released a statement as well.
Okay. So, and I would say the contract has to be signed because Indianapolis went through this where they announced a head coach and then all of a sudden they didn't have a head coach. So that no one makes the mistake anymore of announcing a deal until it's solidified.
I don't know if we can even find this out, but I wonder if UM had a chance to match an offer or something.
Right. Like, could you make enough of, and again, if it's all about being head coach, can't offer that.
No.
Now, when I was leaving 790, I remember because I was doing mornings and I was coming here to do afternoons and 790 was trying to keep me and they said, we can give you this, we can give you this. But if you're looking to get off mornings and go to afternoon, we can't give you that. Like like the negotiation's over.
Yeah.
Because we can't give you that. And if that's what happened with Manny Diaz, where he's like, no, I have designs on being a head coach. Like, you can't offer that. And so it may be that, or maybe it was a combination of things where his agent says, you know, well, if you can get to here and the title is assistant head coach and he's got autonomy to blah, blah, blah. Like, and I don't know. We were trying to get Blake James on the air and maybe we will. I don't know.
That's the thing. Was it where, hey, I'm going to visit Temple. I'll holler at y'all. Or, hey, I'm going to talk to Temple. Oh, hey, this is what Temple told me. I'm thinking about taking the job. And now is there that open dialogue between everybody?
My thought would be the moment you hear that he's interested. Because remember it happened with Al Golden in Penn State. After his first season or second season, you know, you start flirting with another team. And then if they're interested in keeping you, and I would imagine University of Miami, my guess is they would have done almost anything, whatever was in their parameters.
Give a couple, $100,000, $200,000 more?
Right, but I don't know if that was, enough. I don't know what he was, does anybody have any idea what he was making as a DC?
Because it's a private school. They don't have to disclose it, I believe.
What's Richt making?
Heard 4.
Yeah, like 4, 4.5.
So you got to figure Manny Diaz was making what? $500,000 maybe? And what would he be making at Temple?
He got to make $1 million.
At least 7 figures, right?
Yeah, you got to make at least $1 million. But what about that? What if they say, hey, you're making $1 million, stay here for $850 or $800? I don't even know if it goes that way. Like,
I don't know.
But would you, because you were making a point yesterday, is being a head coach at Temple a better job than being the DC at the University of Miami, the Legacy, the Hurricanes? And I was like, no, being a head coach, that looks better on your resume than any DC or OC job you can get.
The highest paid defensive coordinator in college is LSU's defensive coordinator. He makes $2.5 million.
Right, which so has to be Manny's more than Manny Diaz making as a head coach at Temple. But again, you're talking about unique situations.
And I know Saban, there was a story that came out that Saban's coordinators were making around $1 million.
Yeah,
and
like probably several coordinators.
And the linebacker coach was at $550 or something. Like those are crazy numbers. And I don't think Manny was there. I don't think Manny was making $1 million in Miami.
So how big a loss is this in the pantheon of Miami Hurricanes losses? Like, how hard does this hit the University of Miami, the football program, and its future? The biggest bright spot of that Hurricanes team was the defense.
Elite.
Elite. How big a blow is this to the Miami Hurricanes?
The biggest, I would say the biggest coaching, the most influential coaching change they could have made.
More than if they lost Mark Richt.
That offense wasn't rolling. That defense was rolling.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Do they take a bigger coaching hit having lost their defensive coordinator than they would have if they lost their head coach?
Sounds crazy.
No, but you might be right.
That defense was, I'm not good.
It was elite.
Elite. Top in it. Go look at the numbers. I can look them up for you if you want to. Top. Led college in tackles for loss. Number two in total yardage given up. Elite defense. And yeah, it always seems like I'm piling on. I don't find pleasure in this. I just speak facts.
I think you do.
There's a lot of guys that were going to UM to play for Manny Diaz and his aggressive defense. I just saw today there's two more decommitments from defensive players. One of them a five-star DB from down here.
But it because there's uncertainty, right? You could always recommit.
Oh, yeah.
Did they announce that they're going somewhere else, or did they just decommit?
They decommitted, but what defense are we playing in?
No.
Who's calling the defense? Who's my coach?
Let's find out. What if it's Tommy Tuberville, as someone suggested yesterday?
Because that was my thing where when Steve Spurrier went to the Washington Redskins, I was looking at Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, Penn State, and then Zook got the job. As soon as Spurrier left, before Zook got the job, as soon as they announced Spurrier's leaving to go to Washington Redskins, I decommitted from Florida and I committed to Georgia. I was committed to Georgia for over 2 weeks because I'm like, oh, these are my last two. He's gone. I don't know who's coaching. Then Zook comes in. Then Zook comes and talks to me, and he says, just give me a visit. Give me a visit. I was like, nah, coach, I'm already committed to UGA. Crowder, just give me a visit. You already have four visits. Just, you know, take a visit to UF. I told him no. Then he went and hired Charlie Strong as my DC, and that was the only reason I was going to play for South Carolina. I didn't give a damn about no Lou Holtz. I love Charlie Strong, and I love his defense. When Charlie Strong went to Florida, that was what made me go to UF, was Charlie Strong going there. Manny Diaz has the same or more love right now than Charlie Strong does.
Yep.
So in my own story, I went to a school to play for a defensive coordinator. So I can't say it means nothing that Manny Diaz was one of the top DCs in the nation and now he's gone.
Now, I will tell you this, and again, I don't like to lose him and that defense was biting like we said. Like I don't like any of it. But had he gone to Florida or UCF or USF, then you go, wow, he might take some of the commits with him. No one's leaving, like, no one's committed to Miami and then going to Temple. It's not Florida to Georgia. It's not like this is Miami to Temple. So he's gone and forgotten.
Yeah.
Like, that. There's, like, you're not going to lose kids. Now, the defense may be different. I don't know. That remains to be seen because the defense, you know, again, had the swagger of the turnover chain. He instilled that Miami Hurricane swagger back on defense that we hadn't seen in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And part of it was that turnover chain. So he really, how long was he here? Two seasons or three?
Wasn't it as long as Rick.
Yeah.
Is that two? Because this will be Rick's third season?
Yep.
Yes.
Coming up.
Do I have that right?
No. This might be Rick's fourth season coming up.
Because he did coach Kaya. Kaya, Malik, and then this year was Malik and everybody else, so third.
Third season. Okay, so Manny Diaz then had three seasons here. More than cemented his legacy as an important member of the Miami Hurricanes coaching community.
Yeah.
Because he brought that defense to prominence with that turnover chain, which became a national sensation. I wish him well. I think every Hurricane fan wishes him well, and it's, you know, one of those things that you deal with. We talked about it yesterday. If you have somebody good doing something, you're at risk of losing them. Dolphins lost Vance Joseph as their defensive coordinator because he was good.
Yep.
And, you know, it's what happens. But like I say, for Hurricanes fans, it's a better situation for him to leave and go be the head coach at Temple than FSU or UF or UCF or even a, you know, like an FIU or an FAU where you think, yeah, maybe he can drag some of the recruits with him.
What they could do is hire somebody quick and get the ball back rolling and be able to.
We didn't miss a beat.
Because that's the thing. There's going to be the recruits and the parents and the coaches. There's a question now. Your son, DJ, is a top DB coming out of Boca, and he's committed to UM right now. Number one defensive back in the nation. What would be your questions if he were committed to you? You had to ask Mark Richt right now.
Absolutely.
Who's he playing for? What kind of defense is he playing in? Does the new DC like him like Manny liked him?
And if every answer is we don't know yet, then sure, you'll decommit. Now, somebody texts in. Maybe you can check this, Valero. Somebody texts in. You're wrong, Hawk. One kid already decommitted to commit to Temple. Can you check on that? I don't know. That would be surprising to me.
But I'm with you.
And
but,
it would have to be a lesser.
But even to that point, if they don't decommit and go to Temple, they decommit. And if they have a UM scholarship, they have a UF scholarship usually. They have an FSU scholarship. Right. So even though Manny's not going to UCF or USF or FSU, those kids have scholarships around the state.
It opens up the door again for Dan Mullen and Willie Taggart and whatever to come. Hey, there's no turmoil here. We went through our – Willie Taggart will come in. We went through our season of turmoil. You missed it.
Yep.
We got everything situated. Now we're good to go. They're going to go through – now, again, you know, sales. It's a sales job.
I was just going to say, me as a Gator, I'm upset if the UF coaching staff didn't call every single UM defensive commit and explain to them what just happened. Hey, how you doing, Ralph? Yeah, Manny just left. I don't know if they're going to run the same defense. I don't know. But – you know, we're going to run the same defense next year, and we weren't that far behind the UM defense if you look at the numbers, and we're going to be better if you come here. That's going to be the sales pitch. UM has to have an answer for these kids. That's why I'm saying if it's – and the reports of Tommy Tuberville coming back, he's been out of coaching, I think, 2 seasons doing TV. If you're going to get Tommy, get him yesterday
right. So
you can have an answer for these kids.
Jaden Francois and Keyshawn Washington are the decommitments. They're not going to Temple.
Okay.
They didn't say anything about
that. Yeah, okay.
Do they like Florida? Anything on there about their second tour?
This is not what we're using all time on the air.
Sorry.
Trying to get people to go to Florida.
Selfish.
Ridiculous. I have something that everyone is going to need to hear in the next segment. I'm telling you, I don't even know how to describe what we're going to hear, Falero. Do you have a description of it?
Crazy talk?
Something along those lines.
A little bit.
It's really not. I don't know what he's saying. Crazy talk. I don't
go to him.
I don't know. That was a mistake on my part.
How many years did Manny have here? That stuff he can do.
Right. I think he said two. So, you know.
No, I didn't.
Trust me, you're going to want to be here when we come back. You can join the 411 Payne WQAM Street Team this Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff at Hammocks Grill in Miami. Watch the game, win Finns tickets, enjoy game day's favorite light lager. You can get all the details right now at WQAM.com. About an hour away from Manny Diaz's introductory press conference. Was it 3 or 3:30, Falero?
3 p.m.
You're
sure?
According
to Temple's press release.
Because we're supposed to have Rob Pizzola on at 3. Do people want to hear Manny Diaz's press conference in Miami?
Isn't that like watching your ex kiss another man?
He'll say something nice about UM and the program for the first 30 seconds, right? And then it's got to all be about Temple. No coach is going to go into a place. I don't know. Take a poll. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Do Hurricanes fans 560-22 text it in? Yes or no? Would you like to hear Manny Diaz and his introductory press conference at Temple?
No.
Yeah, I'd say no.
I'd probably say no.
I'm thinking about Urban Meyer at Ohio State would be my.
Right. That's equivalent.
And no, I didn't want to hear him talk about how great it is to be on Ohio State.
Although he was the head coach, it's a little bit different. I mean, you're still talking about a coordinator here. Again,
he was the most popular coach on that. We won't say the most influential because we had that conversation a second ago.
Yep.
You could probably go back and forth with that. The head coach should be more important in the DC. But the most popular coach? Manny Diaz, by far.
Well, last season, for sure.
No, he's been here, so he's from down here. His dad lives here. All those stories, he kind of relates with South Florida. He is South Florida.
Mike Rumpf would be a good, for me, candidate for defensive coordinator. He's got still that University of Miami cachet. We saw what he did at American Heritage. Yep. Now he's been on the staff, and now that would seem like a natural progression to me.
Whoever they go with, do it fast. Because you're giving more time for these decommitments to flirt with other people.
We have a laugh. This is what I was teasing. We have a laugh that challenges Kawhi's for
no way.
Weirdest.
No I'm, way.
Bro, I'm
bro,
telling you.
You have to listen to it.
This is, and there's a couple things at play here, and I've tried to decipher what I really think is at play. Now, let me just give everybody the context of Kawhi Leonard. This was his introductory press conference in Toronto, who, by the way, kicked the bejesus out of Golden State last night without Kawhi.
Yeah.
I think they're 7-1 without Kawhi.
Toronto is legit.
They were the, right now, that's the finals.
Yeah.
That FPI stuff.
Golden State and Toronto. And I would probably lean Toronto right now at this point.
Oh, I don't
Come
know.
On.
And
Golden State is in disarray. Like, they don't like each other.
That's true, but
right?
they're getting Boogie Cousins back, too. He's in the D-League now with addition of him. And you know what? If they can put that crap out the window. I'm with you.
You can't.
You can tell. But put that crap out the window for the playoffs.
It's going to fester all season, and then the playoffs are going to come, and you're going to try to put that out the window? I don't think so.
Just the sit-down dinner of let's let all this go and win that ring. They're professional enough.
Important millennial billionaire personalities. That's almost impossible to do.
I'm with you now because I watched that game last night. They were embarrassed. They were outrunning Golden State, and that's not done very often.
Golden State doesn't care about the regular
season. No. And I get that, but I feel like their tenure as the unbeatable whatevers has run its course. They're just on different things now. Like they're in separate places. Ira told us he's gone, KD. He's gone after the season.
I think I read somewhere he said something like they're gonna put statues of all four of them. Like he wants to stay there. I don't know. That's what I read.
Well, anyway, here's the laugh. So here's Kawhi Leonard. He's asked, what was he asked about here? What he's like or
what are his hobbies?
Something like that. Yeah, and he ends up with that weird laugh.
And what would you like people to know about you?
I'm a fun guy. Obviously, I love the game of basketball. It's just more questions you have to ask me in order for me to tell you about myself. I just can't give you a whole spiel. I don't even know where you're sitting at.
It's still great to me. Play the laugh again. This is Kawhi Leonard. Crazy laugh. It's a crazy laugh.
And he had another crazy one.
And he had another one that they found. This was from years earlier, though, but they found it. So Kanye was in Florida yesterday.
Oh, get out of Florida. Leave us alone.
He went to a botanical garden, right? And so he's at this feature.
Botanical?
Botanic?
Botanical.
I think it's botanical garden.
Botanical. Botanical. Why are you pronouncing it all
I
weird?
I think I said the same thing you said, botanical.
Yeah, I think you guys are saying the same
thing. Oh, yeah, okay, sound all square.
Botanical.
I'm sorry, there's a street swagger to Botanical Garden?
Yeah, man, we head down there and see those podocarpuses at the Botanical Garden.
I'm sorry, I just want to make sure I have this straight.
Bro, you seen them poinsettias?
I sounded too white talking about the botanical garden.
Pronounce the letters hard.
I just want to make sure I have this right. So,
hey man, you been to botanical gardens on Friday night? Bottle specials?
So Kanye, he's talking to a tree. You know how they do these things. They do it at Universal or whatever. They have somebody on a microphone. And he can see who he's talking to, and they have a video projector, and so they do it at different Disney attractions and whatever. So it looks like you're talking to whatever Gumby, and it's actually a person or whatever. So at this botanical gizzle,
botanical.
So they've got a feature where you talk to a tree.
Yes.
And the tree looks like it's talking to you, but there's someone behind. The tree makes, I think, a brilliant joke. And I can't, you're going to have to decide here. Is Kanye being polite? Here's my take. Before you hear it, this is my take. See if you agree with me, Falero. My take is this. Kanye doesn't laugh very much. I don't think he finds many things funny.
Yeah.
I don't think the Kardashians, who he spends a lot of time with, I don't think they're funny.
Yeah, they don't get jokes because they're not smart.
Right. Yeah. So I'm being honest. I don't think he laughs a lot. I don't think that he has a good sense of humor about himself. I don't think he's got a good sense of humor. And so when the tree makes a joke, I think Kanye actually finds it funny, but then he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know that this is how your body reacts when something's funny.
It was a A laughing asthma attack.
Like, yes, like it just came out. But it, and so here, listen.
The laugh snuck up on him?
Yeah, like I don't think he was expecting to laugh. I think he was expecting to be Kanye. I don't think he goes and has dinner with Kim and the rest of the Kardashians and he laughs a lot. I think he just.
Sunken place.
Yeah, he's constantly in the sunken place. Yeah, so yeah. Here is the tree talking to Kanye at the Botanicizzle Gizzle.
What are you famous for?
Everything.
You're famous for everything. Let me ask you a question, Kanye. It's been plaguing my mind for a while. Do you make your Yeezys in size 3? I've been looking for a pair, but no one has them.
So now the back and forth, because it's hard to hear, it's a tree. He says, what do you do? He says everything. Like, yeah, the tree doesn't know who Kanye is. And then he says, do you make your Yeezys in a size 3? Now that's funny. Yeah. That's a funny joke. What is that? Now play the Kawhi laugh. Play the Kanye laugh. It just keeps coming. I do not
think. I disagree
think,
with you.
Really?
I think there might be some substances that are involved. That sounds like a person like that's high. You know, just a laugh. Like,
see, but I disagree because you never see that from Kanye. You never see him laughing about anything. He takes himself seriously. He believes he's Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he doesn't have much of a sense of humor. And I think that joke genuinely surprised him. Do they come in size 3?
And he doesn't know how to be genuinely happy.
And it just started to come out, and he was surprised. And then it just, he let it go. Like, there's years worth of laughter coming out there.
Because he is one of the guys that sit at a comedy show and try not to laugh.
I told you, when I was in college, I visited my roommate out in L.A., and we went to see the Arsenio Hall show. And there was I don't even think there was a comedian. Arsenio's doing the monologue. And he points out in the audience, just sitting with us, is Naughty by Nature. And I think it was Tretch's thing, maybe, that he had to be hard all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there. I'm laughing at Arsenio's monologue. And Tretch, one of the guys in Naughty by Nature, is sitting there with just a scowl. And I'm like, man, that's gotta be terrible to have to portray.
Life.
Yeah, you have to portray toughness at all times. And I think Kanye's mostly like that, but I think this joke snuck up on him.
I'm kind of with Hawk.
And it just kind of comes
out. I
can
see it, but I don't think. I think that's just like a facade that he does.
Play the whole sound again, because listen to the way he hears the joke, and then it's like, you know, it's like, what's happening?
Everything.
You're famous for everything. Let me ask you a question, Kanye. It's been plaguing my mind for a while. Do you make your Yeezys in size 3? I've been looking for a pair, but no one has them.
I love it.
It snuck up on it.
What's the crazier laugh, Kawhi or Kanye?
I think,
Kawhi, man.
Yeah, it's
Kawhi's
so Kawhi.
Worse?
Yeah.
Kanye sounds like a human that doesn't laugh a lot. Kawhi sounds like, make human noises. Kawhi sounds like an alien,
don't you think,
man.
Like, Kanye sounds almost like an old 75-year-old woman at a deli and her grandson is telling her something funny? You know, like patting his head. Did you hear Josh?
Patting his head.
Right?
Called a noogie.
Yeah. You know, we're like grandparents, it doesn't matter if something's funny or not. They give you uproarious laughter because little Josh, he said it.
Yeah. It's not because he does try to act all hard. Even on.
Always.
When he goes on Jimmy Kimmel or any of those shows, he doesn't laugh when the audience laughs.
It's almost like he's above laughter because that's a human characteristic. And he really does believe he is godlike.
Oh, yeah.
I don't. I mean, you can't. Like, he believes he's above the fray.
Yeah.
When he wants to talk to the president, he goes and sits in the Oval Office. Like, he's above all this. So he doesn't normally laugh because that's what mere mortals do. And then all of a sudden, do you have Yeezys in size 3?
You know, were his kids there? I didn't see the video. No kids?
I haven't seen the video.
I haven't seen the video. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, maybe with the kids, the kids were laughing and he was trying to do it with them. But if there was no kids there, yeah, the laugh snuck up on him.
I think it just snuck up on him. He just
didn't. And then who expects that? Who expects a tree to drop one?
Good line.
A good one, yeah.
It's a good line. All right, that was a little diversion while we drown our sorrows in Manny Diaz going to Temple. Come right back. Radio.com. Radio.com. All of Miami Hurricanes sports action can be heard here on AM 560 and 96.5 FM HD2, sponsored by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Not a word from your lips. Yeah. You can look at me.
Something's wrong with you.
You can look at me. I just hit the post on a liner. That's right. Here's Jermaine Stewart. We can take our clothes off. This is from your day, yeah?
No.
You don't remember the song?
Nope.
You don't know the song?
I like the premise. But I haven't heard this one.
You know the song, Falero?
Only because of you.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't have to.
Right.
Oh, I don't like the premise. Never mind.
We don't have to take our clothes off to have a good time. No, no.
Come on, Crowder.
Drink some cherry
wine.
Yeah,
I bet you think that. I bet you think that, Falero. Your sex life.
Nothing wrong with it.
I know, because it doesn't exist.
Bingo.
Adam Gase just talked to the media. And I'm guessing.
I make babies.
Ryan Tannehill will.
I make money moves.
You're Cardi B.
I run it like cardio.
That's what you decide moves. To do. We're talking Valero trash and you go Cardi B.
Moves.
You worry about the girls, man. I worry about that money.
Go Cardi B when you want to be tough, huh?
You were trying to go line for line and you came out with I make money moves.
Something is wrong with you.
Looking here, Adam Gase credits Kenyon Drake for being ready to both run and catch passes for the Dolphins' offense. His versatility has been key this season. Adam Gase insists Dolphins have moved on from Miami Miracle because of its playoff hopes riding on each of the final three games this season. If we don't, it'll be over. Gase said, they win all three games. I mean, we said it. If they win all three games, Rob Pizzola, professional sports gambler, in about 15 minutes. I'm going to ask him about the Dolphins-Vikings game, but it starts there, and then you've got, I think, two winnable games after that, Jacksonville and Buffalo. But if they win all three games and they end 10-6, which would be unbelievably shocking, by the way, what a turn of events that would be. But you got to imagine they'd be in the playoffs.
10-6, I think they'll make it. Because what is the Colts and the Ravens right there? And
Ravens have the wild card spot right now,
Ravens
right?
Ravens do, and then they're tied with the Titans as well.
And it's only one because San Diego's going.
They've got the other one.
There's only one spot available, so it would be the Ravens, Colts, and the Ravens are in it now. But I would, if we go 10-6, we're in the playoffs. I just feel
it's Los Angeles, by the way, not San Diego anymore.
It's so difficult. I saw someone suggest, because what happened yesterday? So the city of Oakland is suing the Raiders because they've got one more season left, I believe, in Oakland before they go to Las Vegas.
Vegas in 2020.
Right. So they're supposed to play next season in Oakland, but Oakland now is suing them?
Yeah.
And then weird. I saw someone suggest that the Raiders should play in San Diego next season.
Give them a little love.
Give them a little love. San Diego will embrace them for a season because they've missed professional football. And then Oakland moves on to Vegas.
I'll tell you, it makes sense, bigger picture, but I have been to Qualcomm. It is put together with Legos.
Yeah, you'd said before that was the crappiest stadium you ever played in.
Like, embarrassing. Like, you're sitting in the locker room and you're looking at coaches like, coach.
Like a high school.
NFL. It really, there's, no. I've been to the good high school. You know, U school has a nicer locer room than the Qualcomm Stadium. No, exaggeration.
It's why
my high school has a better locker room than Qualcomm.
It's why the Chargers had to move from San Diego. They couldn't get a new stadium, and that stadium is
garbage.
Garbage. Vikings are now 7.5-point favorites. It had gone down to 7 this morning. Vikings are 7.5-point favorites over the Dolphins on Sunday. I'm curious what Pizzola has to say at 3, but I'm curious by that line because Dolphins are coming off of, even if they didn't beat New England, they still played them tough.
Ran for 190.
And Seattle
Tannehill had 3 passing touchdowns.
Vikings were terrible against Seattle.
I think they're taking in, like, it's Minnesota's 4-2 at home, and the Dolphins are 1-6.
Right, they're not a good road team, and you got to figure Seattle's defense is better than Miami's defense. Like, there's a few things at play there.
There's a reason why it's a 7.5-point dog, man.
No, I get it.
And what scares me is the offensive coordinator changing.
Right.
Because this new guy has to come with some real, you know, like to prove his point.
He's got to make that offense click. He's got to make the offense click.
He has to prove his worth.
I mean, they went out.
Anything he has to put out.
They went out and got Kirk Cousins for a whole hell of a lot of money.
$93 million.
So the offense has to click. And so I think you're right. Offensive coordinator gets replaced, whoever's calling the plays. Is it Zimmer that's calling the play? Like, I don't even know who's calling the plays.
Zimmer said he would be more involved, but it's some... And it's what people that listen to the show know. It's a Duboy, I believe. Slappy McDougal. Worked his way up through the system, assistant to the head coach, and now he's the OC, was a receiver coach in different positions. So, but this is where I'm stuck. You changed from a respected OC to a guy that works his way through the system. Your offense should struggle. It should struggle. But it's going to be stuff the Dolphins haven't seen or nobody in the league has seen because it's a brand new offense. So does that new offense struggle with the players' transition, or does that new offense thrive because it's just new stuff? The players are invigorated. Dalvin Cook, they weren't running the ball a lot. So I'm scared that this new OC comes out and pounds the ball with Latavius Murray and Dalvin Cook.
And
it's just
a
different approach to a game.
I think Adam Thielen had a very low game on targets and yardage against Seattle. And that's one of those things, remember we were talking about Kenny Stills when he says, you know, I can't throw the ball to myself, and then backed off it a little bit. But still, when you put that out there in the ether, like, yeah, Tannehill, and he targeted Kenny Stills more. I believe that it's got to be a huge narrative all week in Minnesota. Where was Adam Thielen? Like, you're playing Seattle. You've got Adam Thielen out here. He's proven to you to be your best receiver. Why is he not getting the ball? So I think he gets the ball a lot, or at least a lot of targets on Sunday.
The interim offensive coordinator is Kevin Stefanski.
See?
Yeah.
What is Kevin Stefanski going to do?
I have no idea who he is.
But that scares me because it sounds, and I want to say his name disrespectfully. That's why I said Stefanski.
Like Botanical Garden.
Botanical.
It's Stefanski.
Stefanski.
There you go.
Is his offense going to work or not? That's the question. And I don't know the answer, and that's why I'm worried about this line, because what's going to happen? Are they going to go to hell with a new OC, or are they going to try to prove they are the team? Because remember, the Vikings were supposed to be the NFC representative in the playoffs.
They were going to run away with the NFC North and then the NFC. They were a playoff team already and got better, ostensibly, because they got Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. So now you got a quarterback, what'd you say, $93 million guaranteed?
3-year, 93. It's fully guaranteed.
Fully guaranteed. Yeah. So
the whole contract's fully guaranteed?
It was the first contract ever. He set a new ball. I would give Kirk Cousins that respect.
Yeah.
There's a precedent now for fully guaranteed NFL contracts. You have a great defense. Hunter and Griffin coming off the edges. Their linebacking core with Kendricks. Xavier Rowe. They got some ballers on the Vikings. Thielen. And to your point about Thielen. Thielen. With Diggs on the other side and Kyle Rudolph at tight end, and we can't cover a tight end.
That's some weapons.
Why are they struggling, though? And what is Stefanski going to do with all those weapons while they're struggling?
It like
Stefanski.
See what I'm saying?
There's no V there. Stefanski.
Stefanski. I like it that way.
Botanic kizzle gizzle. We're heading on over to the Botanic kizzle gizzle.
What is wrong with you?
Because you told me I say Botanical Garden too
white. You said it real square.
It's a Botanical Garden.
Botanical Garden. Botanical. Like, more, say it smoother. Botanical.
Why? It's botanical. A Botanical Garden.
Botanical.
Yes.
Botanical.
Yes.
Botanical.
I'm not saying hot six oil. I'm saying Botanical Garden.
And then I ate some hot six oil chicken last night.
You don't put that on chicken.
Man, you can fry in it. Everything. Hot six oil is, man, it's everything in the world.
Ridiculous.
Salad.
We're going to talk with Will Manso today.
Hot six oil and vinegar.
Miami Heat had an awful loss last night. I don't know exactly what happened there.
Turned it on. They were down by 20. I turned it off.
Yeah, that's when they had cut it to 20.
They were down by 30.
I mean, it
point,
was
man.
Bad. And then,
I want to watch this one.
Omar Kelly's going to join us later on today. We'll talk some Dolphins Vikings with him. Rob Pizzola, though, is going to join us next. He is a professional sports gambler. He was not able to join us last week, but he is back this week, and hopefully he's got some winners to ring up for us. So, you want to make a little money? Rob Pizzola, professional sports gambler, next.